answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
That's right, blasting out the growing list of wonderful AM and FM affiliates, simulcasting at Infowars.com and net, and via global shortwave during the day from 11 to 2 Central at 12.172 and 9320 global shortwave, and at night 9 to midnight at 5.085 and 6890. I'm Alex Jones, your host. Thank you for joining us here in the second hour. Torture, chemical weapons to be used in Iraq, re-education centers for women and children to be killed if they try to flee, MSNBC, and the sickening, brainwashed population is being turned into what their masters are, a mirror image of demonic creatures. This is the warping of society, turning evil into good and good into evil, black into white, white into black. This is the mass mind control, but there is an awakening taking place globally across political lines, across national lines, to the New World Order and just how evil these people are. They are the masters of engineering societies. For the next 2 hours, we're joined by David Icke. He is a best-selling author, former BBC reporter, famous soccer player, and about 98% of what he has to say is totally documented up one side and down the other. 2% I have a problem with, but we're honored to have him on the show, joining us from the United Kingdom, and this should be a very eventful broadcast. David, thanks for taking time out to join us on the show, sir.
See, which is now known as the Blair Broadcasting Corporation. Because of its support for him over the years, and unfortunately for him, he's having a real problem here now, persuading the British people that they should go and kill innocent people, which is a real good sign that the awakening's underway.
David, we didn't have you faded up right there at the start. Can you start over what you were saying about Blair and BBC?
Oh, I just said the BBC is known in Britain now as the Blair Broadcasting Corporation, because it's been a pretty much a propaganda tool for him for some time. He's got a Labour supporter as Director General. He's got Labour supporter and funder as chairman, and it's just been taking the government line for a long time now.
His job is to bring England into the euro and destroy sovereignty, correct?
Absolutely right. I mean, I wrote in a book some years ago that one of the things that Blair was being brought into was to bring us into the euro. Because, I mean, as you've talked about and many people that have researched this have talked about, the agenda for the global fascist state includes a global currency. And, of course, if you go from where we are now to a single currency in one leap, then people look up and say, hold on, what's going on here? So you do it in stepping stones, as this is how they've unfolded the agenda over the decades and more.
David,
and the euro is a stepping stone to the world currency. And, of course, the British people have been very adverse to accepting it. And so other European countries, France, Germany, and the Netherlands have gone into it first. But Blair's job is to bring the British people into it, and he will do it in the way that we were stuck in the European Union to start with. They have what they call a democratic vote, a national referendum, but what they do is put millions and millions of pounds behind the do what we want camp, and the others have to scrat around and get funded wherever they can with donations, and it's a completely unequal debate, and that's what they're planning for the euro.
Well, David Icke, of course, in much of Europe, people were not allowed to vote on it. And I want to go over your unique, and you are very well researched and you know, truly insightful on the subject of the New World Order. I want to go over your view of history of the New World Order, how old it is, you know, what it goes back into, the things we can prove, and then what life will be like under the New World Order if they succeed, and what you see happening in the next few years, your predictions, and then any other sectors of this discussion, you can lead us where you'd like to go. Then we'll open the phones up for callers later in this hour. Stay with us, David. We'll be right back.
This is Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
All right. right, it's 8 minutes into the hour. We've got David Icke, expert on the New World Order, very insightful author, former BBC broadcaster, professional soccer player, you would say football player, joining us, and I agree with about 98% of what David has to say. Again, the word is insightful. The word is tying it together. Great analysis, and we're going to talk about the history of the New World Order, what their total plan is, what life will be like under this matrix-like system if we don't defeat it. And I also want to get into Bohemian Grove and the satanic nature of the New World Order, because I didn't believe this just 5 years ago. I had to go investigate it myself with my own eyeballs. It is true, but they're predators, and it's the religion of predators. David, where would you like to begin your presentation with this listenership?
Well, Alex, I think you know, I can bring in what you've just been talking about quite early on here. If I just give a brief summary of where I went with this. First of all, when I was a journalist, and for a short time, I was actually a national spokesman for the British Green Party back in the 80s, which was very important for me. I didn't stay long, because once I saw politics as it worked on the inside, you know, I was throwing up symbolically. I just wanted to get out. But what it did was show me what an irrelevance politics is, and how, and this was really what got me thinking, is how people who were hurling abuse at each other in public debate and on television were actually anything but like that behind the scenes. And I started to realize that there were connections between apparently unconnected, indeed even antagonistic people in politics that I really hadn't seen before. And what happened is I started to research the nature of the way the world is manipulated today, much of along the lines of what appears on your website and on this show. And I started to realize the structure through which a few could control the world, through structures that can be symbolized as pyramids, compartmentalized pyramids, where the vast majority of people who are working in the banking system or the political system, what have you, and in the military and the media, are actually compartmentalized from the knowledge of what those organizations are really being used for. It's what intelligence agencies and stuff like that call the need to know. They only know enough to do their job and make their contribution. Only the few at the top of the pyramid, at the capstone, really know how all these apparently innocent contributions lower down the pyramid fit together to create anything but an innocent picture and an innocent pattern in the way that the world is going.
David, if I could jump in one of your videos, a very revealing comment you made was about visiting Europe, a Bilderberg group meeting, and you come face to face on that road with that police officer, a nice man, guarding the people that literally would like to suck the blood right out of the veins of his children. Can you describe that story?
Yeah, what happened was that, as coincidence would have it, someone invited me, a friend, to have a week's holiday with my family in southern Switzerland. And just around the time that happened, or just after, I got a round-robin letter from what was then known as the Spotlight newspaper, saying that this is where the Bilderberg meeting is this year, and it was in Switzerland, and anyone in that area is invited to come along. So, of course, I went along. I went along about 2 days before it started, and it was the top of this mountain, three hotels all owned by the same people. It was clear that something was happening already. There were people with badges on, and there were security people, and there were fences going up. And I had a sniff around and then left. And then I came back on the last day of the, I think it was a 5-day meeting that year. And suddenly I met a roadblock, literally as you turned onto the road to go towards the mountain. This is a very long distance from where the hotels and the meeting were actually taking place. And there was this guy on the roadblock in this massive orange coat with Swiss police on the back. And I just talked to him, nice man, like you say, what's going on up here? Why can't I go? Playing the ignorant. And he hadn't got a clue. He just said that there is an event going on, there's a meeting going on here, and people are not allowed to go on the mountain until it's over, and he was told that it would be breaking up towards the end of that afternoon. He hadn't got a clue. And this is, as you rightly point out, this is how the pyramid works. The vast majority of people who are playing their part, pushing the world towards this global centralized fascist state, have either no idea they're doing so or no idea of the consequences of doing so. And this is how a few, because at the real peak, compared with the global population, as you know, it's a very few, can actually manipulate the masses to imprison themselves. They are actually manipulating the prisoners to build their own prison and stand on the gates of the prison. We're guarding and controlling each other under that manipulation.
That's what the war on terror is all about. The globalists create the fear, and then we imprison ourselves, and it gets us behind their system, adding incredible power, turning the puny globalists into a juggernaut.
Exactly. And when I kind of started to realize all this, because I'm kind of one of these kind of logical people, I like to see the structure in which something works, and then I can start to pin things on it and add more detail to it. But once I realized that's how they did it, and I saw how they had they were controlling the institutions of society, all the major institutions that control society, the media, the finances, the politics, etc., I asked a simple question, which was starting to take us back. It was clear to anyone with a brain cell that this was not something that could be put together in a few years or even 50 years. This force that was manipulating had created the structure had to go back a very long time. And you don't have to go back very far to realize that these institutions of the free society have not actually been infiltrated by this force, this Illuminati. They were actually structured from the start to give the illusion of freedom while fundamentally taking it away, because people who are in a prison cell with bars they can see know where they are, and their desire for freedom will motivate them to try to get out of it.
David, let me throw a small example of this in. I've read some of the published policy reports, the few that are out there. 100
right.
years ago, the British Empire was getting a lot of heat because their flag was flying over all these capitals. But after World War II, they shifted their policy with the roundtable groups to taking their flag down, putting a dictator in, a strong man, or a group of plutocrats that looked like the general public, and they found that people would accept, in some cases, 10 to 20 times the corruption and abuse if they thought that it was their country and they were still free. Is that an example?
Exactly how they did it. It's what I call the prison without the bars. You give people the illusion that they're free, and it is an illusion to the point where it's designated as a free country if people have the right to put a cross or whatever next to a name every 4 or 5 years, and between the crosses lose complete control of what those people do in the name of the people who voted them in. Or in the case of George Bush, it doesn't even go that far anymore. You know, they put him in whatever. But the prison without the bars, where people think they're free, that is the ultimate prison, Alex, as we know, because people will sit in that prison indefinitely because they don't think there's a prison to get out of. It's the ultimate illusion of being in a prison while thinking you're free, and that's exactly the way they have evolved the original in-your-face dictatorships to create this dictatorship that most people can't see. So as I went back and the theme of this manipulation went back to people like the Knights Templar back at the time of the Crusades and the 1200s in the Middle East, and I kept going back, and eventually, and this is not the start, it's just a point where I picked it up. Eventually, I'm thousands of years BC before I'm picking up back in Babylon and what have you, before I'm picking up any kind of point where you can say, hey, this is not a starting point, but it's a place where you can pick it up.
And then, David, then I go to Bohemian Grove, and they're calling it the Owl of Babylon of Goodly Tire. They are always staking their history on that. That's their symbol. Their symbol is Egypt, the pyramid, the all-seeing eye. It is all around us, and this really is, I guess, the science of controlling populations.
Yeah, and I can tie together the Bohemian Grove and what we've been talking about in this way. I have a completely open mind. I let information be my guide. I don't have a belief system to defend. I'm just interested in what's going on and communicating that information so people have an alternative reality to the one that's constantly pounding their minds through the mainstream media. And a number of things started to become clear. First of all, the kind of rituals, as you rightly point out, that are being done by the elite of today. I mean, the famous people that are telling us, out of compassion and humanity, we must go and bomb innocent people in Iraq. They're doing the same kind of rituals as your secret filming of Bohemian Grove confirmed, that these people were doing back in Babylon. And indeed are doing all over the world today and long time past. The idea that human sacrifice is some kind of aberration of history when we weren't kind of civilized like we are now, I'm sorry, that is an illusion. It's still going on, and it's still going on a scale that staggered me. It wasn't it was going on, Alex, that really took me aback. It was the scale of it that I started to uncover. So here we have the elite of today doing the same kind of sacrificial rituals that the elite of ancient Babylon were doing. So what? How do you fill the gap in between? Well, what started to happen is I started to realize, was I pulled together genealogical research from many different sources of American presidents and the royal families of Europe and the aristocracy of Europe, the bloodline, yeah. And I started to realize also that these Illuminati families are obsessively interbreeding with each other and always have. Now, when
we've got a break, David. Okay. We've got a break. We'll be right back with David Icke. And, you know, how many of you knew that Reuters had reported that the entire Bush family on both sides is related to the Saxe-Coburgs, the German royal family of England? We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Thanks for listening to the M2K Talk Archives, and we are listener-supported with the Honor System. We ask that you wait. Don't donate a dollar at a time. PayPal charges a 35-cent surcharge on anything of a dollar or less. Wait till you listen to 5 or 10, and then donate, please. We appreciate your voluntary support.
Don't worry. This show is documented. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, down.
A little bit later in this hour, I'll ask David Icke about Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin. I believe David Icke's analysis about Benjamin Franklin. We know he was a British agent. We know he died in England. You know, they dug some interesting things out of the bottom of his house years ago that got little or no attention. It wasn't a few of the major British papers. But the Thomas Jefferson thing, I'm not sure about that. That's one of the points that I want to bring up. But David, you were continuing with these bloodlines of the Illuminati, which are clearly there, and you have the world's royalty admittedly saying that the head of the world's royalty is England, whether it's the Japanese or the Arabs or the Dutch. They're all connected, and please continue.
Well, if you go back to Babylon and that ancient era, you had bloodlines put into positions of royal ruling power and who claimed the right to rule because of their descendants from the gods or God, the divine right to rule. And I started to wonder, hold on, what is this divine right to rule, which I'll come to in a second. So as you follow the bloodlines of the ruling royal elite of that ancient time, you can follow their bloodline up into Europe, where it became the aristocracy and royal families of Europe, which of course ran Europe, which was controlling vast areas of the world for a very long time. And through the empires of Europe, not least the British Empire, the French too, but particularly the British, these bloodlines were exported all over the world to the Americas, to Australia, to Africa, etc. And what happened, and again, this comes up to what we talked about earlier, the movement from the in-your-face dictatorship, colonial rule in this case from Britain, and the British Empire, to a an apparently free country, but is still controlled covertly, there was a movement which appeared on the surface to be these empires pulling back from their control of these countries, colonial rule, and giving, quote, independence to these former colonies. What it happened, in fact, is that only happened on the surface. What was left behind in these countries were the bloodline and the secret society network through which this bloodline manipulates itself into power. And those bloodlines and those secret society networks have gone on manipulating these apparently free countries ever since, like the United States and others around the world.
David, I want to go back to something, and then we'll get back into the line you're on here, because when you started the show, you brought up how you got involved in politics, you were BBC broadcaster, you know, famous soccer player, and you're getting involved, and you find out that the equivalent of your Republicans and Democrats, you know, Labor and the Tories, are fighting with each other out in the open. It's Shakespearean theater, but behind the scenes, they're voting the same, they're going along with each other, they're all buddies playing golf. It's the same thing here. Bush is gun-grabbing, open borders, signing on to UN deals, biggest government ever, destroying sovereignty. You try to tell the average conservative that, who's a good person, they will try to deny it. When faced with it, they go, well, at least he's not Bill Clinton. So it's form over substance.
What you find when you study this is that they will debate and argue over things that are not absolutely relevant to the movement, the incessant movement to the global fascist state. In other words, the constant centralization of power. Sovereign nations giving more and more power away to global institutions.
They'll talk about what judge is going to get appointed for 10,000 hours.
But when you study it, when the key votes come on key elements to advance this new world order, centralized global state, they vote together. And so we have the illusion, because fundamental to the illusion of being free while not being so is to give the illusion that there is free debate going on and people actually have a choice. One of the great things, Alex, that is happening now, certainly in this country, is people are starting to see this. Again and again you hear this line, it doesn't matter who you vote for, nothing ever changes. And one of the ways that this works, and it's so obvious in Britain, and I'm sure it is in America, is that you have a two-party state. Now, whichever party is in government has the power at that time to introduce the agenda for the fascist state. The opposition party does not. Therefore, it can oppose and question and all that stuff, because it has no power to do anything. Only the governmental party does, and therefore it introduces the agenda. Then we have this farce called an election.
Stay there.
They change places.
Stay there, David. We got a break again. Long segment coming up. Plenty of time to develop this. And I've got some examples of what David's talking about that I'll give you here in just a minute. And then later we're going to open the phones up. We've got him for a whole another hour and a half. David Icke, I'm Alex Jones, InfoWars.com.
We're on the march. The empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network. Join Alex live on the air toll-free at 1-800-259-9231 or email the Info Warrior at alex@infowars.com.
All right, we got callers from Missouri to Minnesota to Delaware. And they're coming up before this hour ends and then into the next hour, but I want to give David Icke plenty of time to talk. And then later, before the show ends, I've got a few questions, points of criticism, but he can probably answer them. So overall, I think David's doing a lot of really good work. He uses this example of the farce of an election or the phony debate. And let me give you an example of the left and right in America. About 3 years ago, I saw what the current script was, right down to using Iraqis to blow stuff up, connecting them to the American right wing, the one group, the Patriots, really fighting them here head on. And I laid that out. Now you see it being scripted. And I laid out, it's painful how obvious all this has gotten now that we put so many pieces in. Now we're just to the final few pieces, and it's clear where they go. That they would try to push an agenda for a world government, that they deny this world government was forming until it had basically gotten so big they couldn't deny it anymore, the elephant in the living room. So they said, okay, the question is, what type of new world order will it be? I think that's where David Icke was going with this, was that they'll have one party who is for this agenda publicly, and then the other that's supposedly opposition, but they won't criticize the bulk of it or any real substance. They will debate some tertiary little side issue, and then people automatically have the debate framed and limited in their minds. To use a simpler example, you got three shells in a shell game, and one of them has a cyanide pill under it. You're going to have to eat it if you pick up the wrong one. Well, the globalists just have a cyanide pill, say in England with five or six parties. They got five or six different shells. Every shell, every walnut shell, has a cyanide pill under it. So it's a win-win for them. They select the candidates. They, with the media power, present them to you, and then they have a phony debate. Is that what you were getting at, David? David Icke? Do we have David back, Mark?
Are we there?
Yes.
Great.
Fantastic.
Yeah, as I was saying, the party in government has the power to introduce the agenda. The party in opposition does not. And sometimes you'll have opposition parties criticizing elements of the agenda that the governing party is bringing in. But then after a farce of an election, and every so often the two parties change sides, and one becomes the government becomes the opposition. Suddenly the opposition party, as was, that was saying we shouldn't have this, we shouldn't have that, then start introducing it. And there's no better example I've ever come across than Blair's Labour Party. Virtually every element of what Blair's Labour Party has introduced since he was first elected, which has advanced the agenda, he and his party opposed in opposition. And this is the way the scam works, so that whoever's in power introduces the agenda, but the opposition gives the feeling that we're in a free society and we're having a free debate. Another way the scam works is that they'll give one party a certain image and another party a different image. For instance, the Labour Party in Britain has the image, or had it before Blair got involved, of being the party of freedom and against invasions of freedom and privacy and all this stuff. And the Conservative Party had the image of being for those things, very much more invasive of privacy and stuff like that. So what they do, and it's the same, of course, with Democrats and Republicans in America, they put through their most freedom-destroying policies when there's a Labour government in power, because that has the image of not being for that. If a Conservative Party did it, people would say, hey, look, or a Republican Party, hey, look, hey, see, this is exactly what this party does. So they do it through the opposing party that has a different image.
So, David, it's basically good cop, bad cop analogy, and then another quick example. You know, they have the left and right here. Well, will it be a left-wing world government or a right-wing world government? The debate, the question is never asked, do we want a world government? They're setting the debate. They already used that example. Another one is Colin Powell, for years, I'm against the Iraq war, it's wrong, why he might resign. And then right at the last minute, oh, the war's good, it's perfect.
Exactly.
And people say, oh, see, he was a dub, but now he's a hawk, oh, it must be good. And it's totally staged, right out in the open. Another example, NRA, National Rifle Association, totally anti-gun, pushes for the most out-of-control gun control laws. Their members don't even know it. They won't even tell them. And here's this group, oh, I don't have to get involved in my gun rights because the NRA is doing that for me.
Well, there's so many examples of it. For instance, if you want to run drugs and not be investigated, then a great way to run drugs is through an anti-drug agency or administration. Basically, what we're looking at, the foundation of the whole conspiracy, is a mind game. It's the manipulation of the population's sense of reality. Great example of this is September the 11th. So much has happened since then, not least at least 5,000 civilians and then some dying in Afghanistan, a result of the British and American government bombing. All these things that have followed on from September the 11th have been justified in the public mind by the official story of 9/11 being true. It is not. Therefore, because the people, and it must be 90-odd percent and plus of the global population, have accepted the official story, have allowed themselves to be manipulated to believe a lie, everything that has followed from that, including the bombing and the war on terrorism and all this stuff, has been justified. And they know that if they can manipulate people's sense of reality, in other words, to get them to believe things that suit the agenda, then that's the foundation way that they will make it unfold. And the key to that, is, and you mentioned it earlier, is to get people in fear. Once people are in fear of something, they look outside of themselves to others, to authority, whatever, to protect them from what they've manipulated to fear. And that's one key reason why they wish to keep the global population in a constant state of insecurity and fear.
Now, David, I did my own research for my two videos in my book about September 11th, but I have read your book. It is the most comprehensive, and I have to tell you, it's totally documented. It's all their own admissions, but they never put it all together for
exactly.
You. It's all fragmented, and much of what is in your book is on PrisonPlanet.com and our 911 archive, or mm-hmm. on Infowars.com. It's all right out, hidden in plain view, and they just announce something calmly and then move on. Your new book, and we'll talk about that in just a second, how folks get that, because it's very important. I have found that people can't get over the horror that the government would do this, because they might have to do something about it. But really, we have so many historical examples, like the Northwoods document, a
yeah.
U.S. government plan to carry out just this exact type of attack. And I have to tell you, I think it's more like 30% in the U.S. that have now woken up.
Mm-hmm.
No, it wasn't just prior knowledge. They carry this thing out. Can you speak to 911?
Yeah, I support everything you've just said. And I think this is why, Alex, it's so important that along with the documentation of the political and the economic and media manipulation, people also alongside that have the information about the what you might call satanic nature of these families that are running the show. Because once people realize what these people get up to, the mental block on accepting the possibility that these people could actually orchestrate the horror of September the 11th to advance their agenda, which they have massively as a result of that mental block falls, because those that will sacrifice children, those that will abuse children on a vast scale, people like Father George Bush, infamously so, will have no problem whatsoever with killing 3,000 people plus to advance their agenda.
I want to give you an example. There was a New York Daily News article a few months ago. I had the lawyer on, declassified document, confirmed. No debate, just a few articles, massive story, should have been top story for weeks. Calmly, they got the Roosevelt document signed by him where he ordered our troops, our sailors, not to let 7,000 men, women, and children, civilians, American citizens, on the ships, and the ships were half empty, to take them out of the Philippines so they could be captured by the Japanese. The document said, for war propaganda purposes. Now, that's snuffing out, and over half of them were killed and died. 7,000 people just for propaganda purposes. They're caught doing it. 60 years later, it's calmly reported like it's no big deal. You got your London Guardian, about 10 other papers 3 months ago, 4 months ago, reported that MI6 calmly has done most of the bombings in London and in Ireland in the last 24 years now since Margaret Thatcher started it. They just calmly announced, yeah, we've been doing most of the bombings to be legitimate with the terrorists. And they just, how do they take massive stories and just calmly report, yeah, we do this, yeah, we do that?
Well, the one of the key elements, I think, to appreciating the way that people are manipulated in all these ways is the understanding they have that people do not retain detail. Even people who read newspapers, very few actually retain detail. And people who get their news, most people from television, retain no detail at all. What they retain is an image, a feeling. And what these people are doing, therefore, is manipulating that image. This is why, I mentioned this in Alice in Wonderland of the World Trade Center disaster. This is why they will call a news conference immediately after 911, the FBI, and announce they've found a passport from one of the hijackers. You know, I mean, I'm not a physics major, but when I look at a fireball and I'm told that a paper passport from one of the hijackers has just been found near Ground Zero, where vast numbers of bodies have never been found right the way through. It is utterly ludicrous. But I sat in this very chair, Alex, and I watched on this television here a BBC newsreader on national news calmly, without any questioning at all, announced that this had been found. What happened is, when I was researching the book, I went back to the New York police to say, well, hold on. Could you just tell me whose passport of these hijackers you're naming it belonged to? And I was told I couldn't get that information because there was an ongoing investigation and what have you. And then on the anniversary of September the 11th, 6 months or so ago now, an ITV documentary asked that question also, and the FBI's reply was, the hijacker passport, wait for this, is a rumor that might be true. This is a year after they called a news conference to announce they'd actually found it.
Well, let me stop you. Khalid Mohammed, there was a report, Asian Times, a Reuters report, in October, early October of last year, they announced, and then when I saw the article, I went, oh yeah, I remember that. Big victory. They've killed Khalid Mohammed in his home, captured his children and his wife.
Yeah.
Then this weekend, we've captured him. He's alive. And then the ABC News, we've got his son, his sons, 7 and 9. We're going to torture them so he'll answer questions. And then it says, but we're not torturing. I mean, it's just insane Orwellian doublespeak, worse than what Winston saw at the Ministry of Truth in Oceania in 1984.
The point is that they know, because of this phenomena that people do not retain detail, that they can say A at this time and they can say Z at another time,
but people will not
connect the two and see the contradiction. It's only people like you, me, and other people investigating this that put A to Z and B to D so that people can say, hey, how can they say that and then say that? Unless that happens, people just don't make the connections and they get away with it.
It appears to be sloppy on purpose. I mean, they could have easily said some other guy under some name and show a picture of anybody and say, this is the mastermind. Why do they? It's like they're getting caught on purpose. It's like they're ridiculous lies. Is this like an inside joke or something?
Well, my feeling is, and, you know, I can only give my opinion on what I feel. I feel that these guys are in a state of panic now, and I think this is one of the key reasons they're trying to push this on so rapidly, is because there is an awakening going on. I mean, when I first started talking about this a decade ago, a man and a dog used to turn up. I mean, you're talking to the man who pulled in a crowd of 8 in Chicago, Alex. That doesn't happen now because there is an awakening going on and people are starting to see through more and more and more of what's actually happening. And this is one of the key reasons they want the microchipped population and they want this fiercely centralized dictatorial state in place to suppress the awakening of the people. And they're panicking to push on and push on faster and faster.
People who
panic to stop thinking straight. And I think personally, mate, that they're making a lot of mistakes.
Well, no, I hardly agree. And I think that because there's only a few thousand top technicians, I think they're overstretched. I think their compartmentalization is breaking down, and they are having trouble command and controlling all of this. And whereas you had 8 people a few years ago, now it's thousands coming to hear you speak. I've done 700 radio interviews in the last year and a half, and 1 out of 30 callers calls in to disagree. And I'm on the air saying it as hardcore as it gets, David.
Yeah, I think what's happening is that up to this point, up to shows like yours and researchers and what have you who have started to put this together and communicate it, people only had one version of possibility, i.e. political parties were not connected and and transnational corporations were not in effect controlled by the same people. The banks were in competition with each other and all this stuff. Once this alternative view of what's happening in the world started to be communicated and more effectively, people could see that there was actually another explanation, and actually one that makes far more sense about what's happening in the world than the official one they're being given. And this is having an increasingly dramatic effect on the way people see the world. I mean, you will have had the same experience. There are people who are waking up to this and coming to the conclusion that, no, we can discuss the detail, but the themes we agree on, that the themes actually are correct, and they are people who would have laughed in your face a year ago or 2 years ago. This is a wonderful time, this, Alex, but this tyranny is unraveling, and we need to keep going and expand this so it continues to unravel.
Well, they're going to use more terrorism to try to get us back in line. I don't want people to underestimate the scorched earth policy that they do plan to take. And I want to talk about the microchips. I mean, I remember reading one of your books 5 years ago where you talked about the microchip population. I remember reading Army documents 3 years ago, and we were kooks to talk about it. Now it's take your chips. It's good. It's good.
Exactly.
I mean, it's the craziness of it. I mean, I think they've gone too fast because they know it's unraveling, and that now they've even shown more of their hand. Do you agree?
Yeah, and you know, I mean, we have a president who's really he's a smoking bomb, really, from that point of view.
All right, I want to come back and jam three calls into this next 5-6 minute segment. I'm going to start the second hour, come back and take more calls, and then get back into David's analysis of what life would be like under the New World Order if we don't defeat it. And we'll also tell you how to get to Alice in Wonderland and the World Trade Center disaster. We have a link to his website, davidicke.com. I do have some tough questions, too, coming up in the next hour. Stay with us. Thanks for joining us, David.
Business Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
That's right. His website, our guest, David Icke, is davidicke.com. You can link through via infowars.com. Don't forget, I have written a book, 911 Descent into Tyranny. I also have made two films on the subject. They're excellent. Go to infowars.com or net, or call toll free 1-888-253-3139 to order. Don't wait. Get the films. 1-888-253-3139 and spread them in your community. Wake the people up. 888-253-3139. Jeff, Mark, and Doug, we're going to try to get to you right now. David Icke, real quick, and we'll do a better plug for it in the next hour. How do folks get your latest book, Alice in Wonderland and the World Trade Center Disasters?
Well, they can get it through davidicke.com or a number, 888-609-5006, 888-609-5006. And it's why the official story of 9/11 is a monumental lie. And the number of brain cells acting in unison it actually takes to demolish the official story is depressingly few, and yet most of the world has bought it because that's the only version they've had so far.
Well, I mean, your book is encyclopedic. What is it, like 500 pages?
500 pages, yeah.
Give us that number again.
It's 888-609-5006. In fact,
all
my
right.
website's based in Texas.
All right, or davidicke.com. Let's talk to, real quick, Jeff, and Jeff's calling from Missouri. Jeff, go ahead. You're on the air with David Icke.
Hello, gentlemen. David, I saw you on the Trio Network along with Alex over a week of where they had the show dealing with the secret rules of the world.
And I have apologized.
TV show, yeah.
I have apologized for saying something mean about David on that.
You can think cold words.
Well, you know, those guys followed. Hold on just a second, Jeff. Those guys followed me around for off and on for 2 years, and like anything bad I said over 2 years got thrown in there. I mean,
I wouldn't trust the presenter of that show as far as I could throw him.
His book is a fairy tale. It takes real stuff and turns it into a joke.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm sorry, Jeff. Go ahead. You were saying something?
No, at any rate, no, Alex, just a little side remark. The remark and the analogy you made about the dog excrement will always stick in my wife and I's mind for quite some time because it was an ingenious analogy. But
okay,
at any rate, but the aspect of what David was saying concerning shape-shifting lizards from a biblical standpoint, one of the things that one of the guys asked you, David, when you walked off, you said, well, I'm not sure of the genealogy yet. My wife and I kind of looked at each other because because from a biblical standpoint, there was a time in Genesis 6 when the fallen angels went into the daughters of men and bore them children. And Noah was perfect.
Well, I wanted to get into this in the next hour.
Yeah, I'd like to, too, because the gentleman's absolutely right. When you look at biblical references, you look at references from ancient societies around the world, there is a common theme here.
But I believe it's spiritual. And that's where we'll probably disagree. Jeff, thanks
for
calling.
I don't believe it's physical either.
Oh, okay.
I think we're looking at other dimensional entities that possess human form.
I
don't think we're necessarily looking at people in space helmets, mate, no.
There is a guiding spiritual force, a grand design, on both sides of this thing. Let's talk to Mark in Minnesota. Mark, you're on the air. Go ahead. Okay, Mark, are you there?
I'm here. Hey, how are you guys doing?
Fine, go ahead.
Yeah, actually, that's what I wanted to bring up, the reptilian stuff. I'd like to know, what empirical evidence do you have that would support that? And
see, that's my criticism point, is that you add this as a cherry on top, that's the 1 or 2%. Everything else is documented mainstream, and then this gets added. We're going to have to cover this.
Yeah, a discrediting mechanism. And then,
Also,
I want to point out, actually, George Bush... You know, he's a ninth cousin of mine. Everybody, has, millions of ninth cousins. In fact, George Bush is probably related to about half of America distantly, very distantly.
Yeah, but to the royals in England, he's very closely related.
I think that sort of, destroys the idea that he's some sort of...
I tell you what. The third hour is coming up, Mark. You stay there, and then David can talk to you when we get back. And this is the 1% of the story that everybody wants to talk about. We'll be right back.
When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean real, hard-to-find, all-natural Pure Soap that contains no dyes, perfumes...
Thanks for listening to the M2K Talk Archives. And we are listener-supported with the Honor System. We ask that you wait. Don't donate a dollar at a time. PayPal charges a 35-cent surcharge on anything of a dollar or less. Wait till you listen to 5 or 10, and then donate, please. We appreciate your voluntary support.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, we're talking to David Icke, BBC, sports anchor, soccer champion goalie, best-selling author, lecturer, and he has a great understanding, 98% of what he covers, and I've read 3 or 4 of his books and watched a couple of his videos, is very, very accurate and totally documented out in the open, and he's very insightful about that. Then there's the 1 or 2%, getting into who runs the New World Order that people have a problem with, and him saying it's spiritual, I would agree with him more now, because... The globalists do believe in this. They are devil worshippers. I've been to Bohemian Grove, and what is the Bible's description of this devil? It is a snake. David, Mark...
Can I just put this into context, Alex, so that people understand what I'm saying here about this? A little while ago, I was talking about the fact that these bloodlines moved out of the ancient world into Europe and became the aristocracy and the royal families of Europe, and then through the colonial empires expanded around the world. There is a connection between the way that they used to do rituals, sacrificial rituals and what have you in the ancient world, and what they do today in Babylon. I picked up, and again, the caller, Jeff, who mentioned this, is absolutely right. When you look at the biblical references and you look at the ancient accounts of peoples around the world, I mean, I've got a great friend in South Africa who's now an 80-odd-year-old man who is the official historian of the Zulu nation, a man called Credo Mutwa, who... asked to see me simply because what I was writing about these matters was exactly what he had been initiated to know from the ancient African culture and the way that's
been
passed on.
Yeah, there's even been Discovery Channel shows about the cave drawings and what they say and this scar and all that stuff, yeah.
So I began to say, well, hold on a minute. When you follow these bloodlines through, these royal bloodlines, you find that there is this... idea of a divine right to rule. So what the heck is that? And then you start to pick up this theme of the right to rule being your connection to the gods. So what are the gods? And when you look at these various accounts, biblical and otherwise, right up to the present day, and I've been to more than 40 countries researching this.
David, I think the point you're making here is these people are already bizarre. We know they go to Bohemian Grove and worship Moloch the owl. They think they're gods. They say that they are descended from this, and we know that that's what the Illuminati thinks. They call us bugs, useless feeders. So whether it's real or not, you're saying this is what they believe, and I think
I'm saying it's real. I'm saying it's real in this sense. The common theme, biblical and otherwise, is of what are termed demonic entities who possess human beings and take over their emotional and mental processes. Possession. It's an ancient thing, theme coming right up to the present day. And one of the things that is happening in many of these rituals that span these hundreds and hundreds of years to the present day is that during the ritual, the situation is created in which this possession takes place. It's worth pointing this out. When we look through our eyes, we think we're looking at a world. We think we're seeing everything there is to see. What we're actually seeing is just a frequency range. It's the frequency range that our five senses, i.e. our sight, etc., can perceive.
Yeah, we don't see 90% of even the light spectrum.
Exactly. And so, beyond the frequency range of the visual senses of human beings is an infinity of other frequencies of existence.
And
the reason that you'll be sitting in a room, for instance, and you'll see a cat reacting to what is to us empty space, and you're going, what's wrong with a cat, a stupid thing, is because the cat's visual frequency range is greater than ours, and therefore, to the cat, that is not empty space. It is something there that they can see. That's what they're reacting to. Now, the point I'm leading to is this.
You got him right.
Okay.
Pardon me?
I'll come back after the break.
Yes, sir. We've got 50 minutes left, roughly, and I do want to go to these calls, and I want to get into a lot of the stuff we can prove here. I got some questions, but we'll go back into this when we get back.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
There is a double-edged sword effect to what David Icke does. 98% of it totally provable and demonstrated by fact. But you can go out and verify. 2%, he would say documented, I would say speculative. But here's the problem. 3, 4, 5 years ago when I read the government documents about microchips for you and your family and how they were going to try to sell it to you, in 2000, an Army War College report of how they used the media to sell it to you, talking about how weak-minded we are, and now, last year, the news blitz, every child needs a microchip, wall-to-wall coverage, 100 times a day for months on end. Who would have ever thought that would happen? Who would ever think they'd be on the news saying torture is good, and, oh, our government's going to use chemical weapons on Iraq, that's okay, but it's not okay if they use it. Who would have ever thought they'd be out in the open, the New York Times 2 weeks ago, saying it's a new world order, the UN to run America? Who would ever think the Associated Press would report that foreign troops are massing for, quote, anti-terrorism operations here in the U.S.? But that's all documented. But there is a danger, and we have all this incredible stuff that we can prove that people can't still believe, some of them, to go into things that we cannot completely prove. And I'll give you an example. I told you a couple weeks ago I had the roofers at my house putting a new roof on. And the guy walks up and he goes, you know, I recognize your voice over the phone when you were setting up this job. Just wanted to tell you my dad, you know, knows about this new world order. I thought he was crazy. He goes, do you really believe there's a trilateral commission? And he'd heard my show, he said, many times. I said, sir, the Trilateral Commission is a public organization with offices in New York and D.C. They call for world government. They have publications. They have presidents and people as members. You know, that's like saying, is the world really round? Does the sun really come up in the morning? You know, was there really a George Washington? So if people have trouble with that, you know, when I went to shot video Police State 2000, troops trained to take your guns and put you in camps. I mean, this was up close, color video, them saying it, them doing it, news articles on top of it. People couldn't believe that. Therein lies the danger. We were going to go to Mark in Minnesota, but he hung up. I was going to give him a chance to, because he wanted to ask questions of Mr. Ike, but we do have a bunch of other callers. David, you were trying to make a point. Go ahead and finish that point. Let's go on to some other calls.
Okay, well, a couple of things. As I was saying when I was last speaking, just outside the frequency range of the five senses, which that which our eyes can see, not that it's actually our eyes that see, it's our brain that sees, and that's another area of manipulation, but is where these entities live, which have been mentioned and documented throughout history in their various forms under the collective term of demonic entities. Now, all I'm saying is that not in my experience of sitting in a darkened room contemplating what I think is going on, by talking to hundreds of people around the world from every different walk of life you can imagine who have had the experience of seeing these entities, overwhelmingly, in the experience of people that I've talked to, they seem to take a reptilian-type form and are possessing the people who are in positions, major positions of power, and therefore controlling their mental and emotional processes.
And
I'm
David,
saying nothing new compared with what people have been saying for hundreds of years, including biblical references.
Well, you're right, and the Bible says that these principalities run the high places. Well, if the leader is running it, that means that they have been controlled. And how do you describe this evil, this lack of conscience? This compulsion to commit huge wars and kill hundreds of millions of people, and that ritual at Bohemian Grove, this is what opened my eyes up to some of what you're saying, those rituals at Bohemian Grove, it was about not having a conscience. It was about getting rid of care.
Yeah, the other thing, Alex, another theme that I've picked up over these a decade or more of research, is that these entities that possess the bodies, if you like, of people in positions of power, they feed off human fear. The more fear that is generated in this world frequency range, whatever you want to call it, the more energy there is for these entities to absorb. Not only that, when you look throughout history of these rituals, you'll see a recurring theme of sacrificing to the gods. Now, what the heck do the gods of these entities have to do with sacrificing people? Why is the sacrifice something you're giving to
it's
them?
It's like an H.P. Lovecraft book. You're saying it, but see, here's the thing.
I'm saying what they do in these rituals is that the intense fear, terror that they do as they build it up with the victim, and eventually at the point of death, a massive amount of energy is released, which of sheer terror that these entities absorb. That's what the sacrifice is.
Okay, David,
I've talked to people who've taken part in these rituals and now deeply regret it, who have actually explained this to me.
Well, let me just say this. I talk about legislation. I talk about the New World Order. I will say, yes, the leaders are satanic because, I mean, ABC News, Skull and Bones, they catch video of a satanic ritual, slitting women's throats, blood spraying on ABC News. A lot of you have seen the video. National television, Fox ran it. And they said, oh, they're just having fun. And there's no police investigation. Was that real or was it simulated? I go to the Grove, a bound body, begging for its life. The Grove admits on national television worldwide, I did get that footage. That is real, they're saying. But it's just a theater, a theatrical thing. But then we see these leaders in the real world carrying out wars, carrying out mass killing, which is where they're... So I agree that they believe this. I agree they believe in the devil. I agree that there is a devil, but at that point, you see, I don't attach the whole New World, even though it's at the head of it. What happens is you go out and attach that to this, the average person won't be able to come to terms with it. Let's take some calls.
Well, that's not been my experience, I must say.
All right, well, I'm telling you that when I go out and talk about the New World Order, occasionally, the few criticism I get, oh, you're like that David Icke guy, you know, this... Now, you believe this is going on, and it's being used as a discrediting mechanism.
Yeah, the point is, though, Alex, you know, that we are a tapestry of people uncovering and communicating what's going on in the world. And if we were all the same, I mean, what's the point?
Oh, hey.
We come from our different points of observation.
That's why we got you here.
Now, what we need to do, surely, is communicate what we believe to be true. If we start editing what we found and what we believe to be the case, then what are we doing? Well, you see, if people had not have come out and faced the same criticism, indeed I did, that I should not have come out and talked about the way that these children were being sacrificed and abused by people like George Bush and others, people would now not, further along the line, be opening up to this, because someone has to throw it in there first. Otherwise, it never moves and never expands. If someone had not said the Earth was round and not flat, how long would people have gone on believing it was flat?
Well, that's an example I used. Now, listen, you're not being censored here. I mean, I know they want to try to ban you from Canada and all that, and I think that's ridiculous. But I'm here. We're talking about it. I'm telling you, we're discussing this situation. We're going over, and I think it's been revealing now, but we got to go to these calls. But
all right.
I've got to say this again for those that just tuned in. All of you may not have heard of Bohemian Grove, but you heard about Skull and Bones, four or five generations of Bushes, most CIA directors, this elite blue blood, New Haven, Connecticut, Skull and Bones. They do worship Satan. It is MSNBC. They talked to 100 members. The U.S. branch of the Bavarian Illuminati. That is a fact, and that's hard for people to believe, but that's out in the open. They do Paul Bonacci in his diary, and this is a state senator, wrote the book. He's never been sued. A TV station in Virginia said it wasn't true. He sued them for $1.3 million. He has the diaries, the police reports, and in one of his later editions added something that he didn't put in the first one about Paul Bonacci and these kids, mentioning Northern California and the South and this happening. And we know that the Aztecs did this. We know that the ancient tribes all over did this. Why is it the same ritual? Why is it this the same activity? Why do we see this? And that is a legitimate point. And it is bizarre. It is out of control, but it is happening. Let's talk to Doug in Delaware, who's been holding for about an hour. Go ahead, Doug. You're on the air.
Hi, Alex, and hi, David.
David,
I had about a million questions for you, but I think I could narrow it down to two.
All right. Well, I haven't got a million answers, mate.
Thank you.
I got more questions than anyone listening to this show, I tell you.
I imagine you do. The first thought that I had was, do you think that simply by delving into these types of subjects about the source of all these evils we're seeing and learning and being aware is like winning half the battle, to say?
Well, yeah, because, you know, this Illuminati do not run around trying to control our sources of information to give us their version of events rather than the true version, because they get fun out of it. They do it because it is fundamental to them controlling us. They're controlling our reality. And our reality, our sense of belief, our sense of ourselves, and our sense of the world is what fundamentally dictates our physical behavior. I'm sitting here with a phone in my hand, not because my body's decided to do it, but my mind decided to do it. So if you like, for want of a term, and I don't like it, the battleground is actually the human mind, the human perception. And crucial to that is keeping from that human mind information that would get us to see what's going on, and emphasizing constantly only that which leads us to a false reality of what's going on. So awareness is absolutely the bottom line of bringing this whole network to an end.
You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. My people perish for lack of knowledge.
Okay, I have one more quick question, and that is, in your reptilian theory, how many do you think of, let's say, ordinary people have this bloodline? For example, I'm Irish.
Well, he's saying it's just possession. Go ahead.
Well, I'm saying it's possession, but I'm saying this. There had to be a reason, and then I was just asking questions about things that were obviously true. Why are these Illuminati families so obsessed with interbreeding with each other, as they still are? I mean, look at the aristocratic families and royal families of Europe. To this day, they interbreed with each other. Why? Talking to people that have been involved in these rituals, talking to people who have been close to people like Princess Diana, a close confidant of hers for 9 years, who blew my mind one
time. Got a break. We'll talk about it when we get back.
Okay.
I know this. They are occultists. What they are, who they are, we got to figure that out.
Thanks for listening to the M2K Talk Archives. And we are listener-supported with the Honor System. We ask that you wait. Don't donate a dollar at a time. PayPal charges a 35-cent surcharge on anything of a dollar or less. Wait till you listen to 5 or 10, and then donate, please. We appreciate your voluntary support.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back live. The toll-free number to join us on air is 800-259-9231. I'm Alex Jones. We're talking to, obviously, controversial anti-New World Order crusader, researcher, David Icke. And the globalists are into satanic rituals. That is proven, admitted, mainstream. Now, do you believe in a devil? Do you believe in those types of things? I know I certainly do, and that is a perfect example and description of why they're acting and behaving like this, turning our planet into a prison planet. David, we got a lot of callers here, but you had a point you were trying to make when we slammed into that last break. Go ahead.
Yes, mate. I was just saying that I've met so many people, including a lady called Christine Fitzgerald, who was a close confidant of Princess Diana for 9 years, who I met after Diana's death, not to talk about anything like this, but to talk about what she knew about the way the Windsors treated Diana and what the relationship was. And right out of the blue, she said to me, do you know what Diana's nickname for the Windsors was? And I said, no. And she said, the lizards and the reptiles. She used to say they weren't human. And she went on to tell me how the royal family of Britain were just apparently human when you look at the five-sense level, but they were just possessed by these entities which took a reptilian form. And the way I've come up with this whole area of information and research is simply by the number of people I've met around the world that have told me basically the same story.
So you follow the New World Order back, and it always runs into this demonic situation.
Yeah, well, this is the point, Alex. You know, and many people have done this now, when you research back over hundreds of years and thousands of years, and you can follow this theme, a question that people ask me, and it's a relevant one for on the face of it, is, hold on a minute, if this is the case, why would all these different people, going back thousands of years, why would they work themselves through their physical lifetimes, trying to advance and create a global kind of controlling state when they knew they were going to be long gone before it came? There had to be, Alex, a common theme which spanned the centuries of this manipulation and was its common force and source.
Well, yeah, it's called
coordination. And it is these entities that possess these particular bloodlines.
Well, that, they certainly believe in this. They certainly are satanic, and that's what we can prove. Let's talk to Regina in Pennsylvania. Regina, you're on the air with David Icke. Go ahead.
Hi, Alex. Hi, Dave Icke. I've heard about you, and I was encouraged to get your book, so I'm encouraged to talk to you a little bit. When you bring up the centralization, I cue in here.
Uh-huh.
This situation right now with Alex bringing up at the beginning of his show about the what was happening on the street last night. I find it interesting. George Will had an article in the Tribune Review on Sunday the 2nd about holding schools accountable. And I find it real interesting that now they want to use the NAEP, N-A-E-P, to shame schools into compliance of the federal government goals. And I see this as the same entity that Alex experienced last night with what he saw on the street.
Well, yeah, the feds train us how to act like animals and then get more control when the system falls apart, but they engineered it. Problem, reaction, solution.
Yeah.
Right. And the people that are trying to run outside this confusion will be graded, and then we'll have the expansion of power over them. And then we'll have parents such as the parent grading standing up.
Yeah, they're now arresting parents in the U.S. if their kids don't finish the homework from Houston to Pennsylvania. And, I mean, look at this article. Torture for terrorists. Dershowitz torture could be justified. The globalists are giving us their worldview, their values. It says in the ABC News report they've got their children for torture. And then they say, but this isn't torture. Torturing people's children to get them to answer questions. How much more evil? They're giving us their values, aren't they, David?
Exactly. And the point is that when something that's remained hidden has reached the point where it wants to manifest its agenda in the world, there is also always a window of time where what has remained hidden breaks the surface, where we can start to see it, because they want to now bring it into everyday society reality. And this is why, at this point, we are now beginning to see that which has gone on underneath the surface up to this point now being put in our faces. And this centralization of power is fundamental to the goal for this reason. When there's not that many of you compared with the global population, you have to, if you're going to control those people, centralize decision-making. The more points of decision-making there are, more diversity, the less control you're going to have. It's like standing on a stage with loads of plates on sticks, and you've got to run around and keep them in the air.
Cashless society, control. We got a break. Thanks, okay. Regina. Come back and talk to Vance and Stan and Storm and others. I got some key questions coming up.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
You wish you had a dollar for every...
Waging war on corruption. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Harassing to the lies and disinformation. Battling the New World Order toe-to-toe. What really happened September 11th, and who stands to gain? The government needed a crisis to convince the people to willingly give up their liberty in exchange for safety. Now the painful facts are in. The dark forces of global government are funding, training, and protecting terrorist networks worldwide. My new book, 911 Descent into Tyranny, documents the ruthless history of governments orchestrating terrorist attacks against their own people to scare them into total submission. In this brutal expose, we'll witness the birth of a global police state that surpasses Orwell's nightmare vision. It's all here, the history of government-sponsored terrorism, the modern implementation of fear-based control, and most frightening of all, the New World Order's future plans. This is one book you cannot afford to ignore. The future of people everywhere is at stake. Go to Infowars.com or net to order my new book or my two films on September 11th that are tour de forces on the subject. The book is $12. My films are all over 2 hours long, $25.95 a piece. Order three or more of any of the eight titles. They drop down to $20, and that supports what we do here. So be sure and call toll-free right now at 1-888-253-3139. That's 888-253-3139. Or Infowars.com or net to order, or PrisonPlanet.com if you'd like. Or you can simply write to me, Alex Jones, at 3001 South Lamar, L-A-M-A-R, Suite 100, Austin, Texas, 78704. Don't wait. Start unlocking minds today. Everything in my books and in my films is 100% documented. No speculation. Going back to David Icke. David, we got a bunch of callers here. You were trying to finish up a point.
Yeah,
you were just making.
Very quickly. What I'm just saying was that when there's a few trying to control the many, the points of decision-making have to be centralized. The more decision-making goes on, the more diverse it is, the less control they have. And I was making the point of someone on a stage with plates spinning on lots of sticks. Eventually, they're going to crash because there's just too many to keep control of. What they want, ideally, is one big plate and one big stick, and they could stand there and keep that going indefinitely. And this is why we've had this incessant centralization of power. And there's another equation. The more you centralize power, the more power you have to then centralize even quicker. And this is why this centralization of power has got faster and faster and faster.
Well, it's a cashless society control grid. You know, the biometrics are going in our grocery stores to buy, the face-scanning cameras, the police helicopters have been given systems that look right through our walls with a crisp image, total violation of the Fourth Amendment in any can of a free society, and the average person has no idea, as the physical prison is being set up now around the prison of the mind, and they're having to do this because there is an awakening, and they're losing control. I want to ask you a few questions, then we'll go to Vance, Stan, Storm, and John and Cliff and many others that are holding here.
Okay.
Go these calls quick. Have you seen my film, Dark Secrets Inside Bohemian Grove?
Yeah.
And so you saw the rituals there. That's real. The Grove admits we got the footage. For anybody that's doubting this, they are devil worshippers. This is a fact. You know, we're weird for reporting it. No, they're weird for doing it. And
I thought the blood-curdling scream at the point that they brought that, quote, effigy onto the slab under the owl and set fire to it was stunning. In the sense that even if that wasn't a real human being, the very fact is that they actually, these people that run our world, actually put that sound of that scream of agony actually on a tape as part of the ritual.
And it begs for its life. The point is, it's obviously an outer ritual. Then we have police reports, documents, information that can't be refuted.
Yeah.
The real thing going on in a similar-looking place, Redwoods and a Big Owl, going back into the 80s before the Grove was even discussed, the reason I bring the film up is that people will deny the stuff's going on. Then they see the evidence, they go, oh, yeah, big deal, let's move on. And that's a psychological defense mechanism, so people don't have a responsibility to fight this. But what I want to expand out into is that, you know, you've talked about Benjamin Franklin, and there's evidence he clearly was a British agent. They tried to control these revolutions. I believe a lot of it got out of their control for a while. That's why you had so much freedom and expansion here. I believe they did get back into control. I want to get your response to that. But you talk about Thomas Jefferson. He obviously did some damage. You say these theaters of fighting today, that is going on. It's always going on. But what about saying Thomas Jefferson is a bloodline? I mean, are you saying Thomas Jefferson was one of them, too? Talk about Franklin and then Jefferson.
Well, my feeling is that at least the vast majority of presidents, from Washington to Bush, have either been in awareness puppets, because that's what presidents are, of this manipulation, or they have been people putting power who have themselves been manipulated to advance the agenda unknowingly. Benjamin Franklin was a member of something called the Hellfire Club, at a place near Wickham, just north of London, on the estate of a guy called Sir Francis Dashwood, who was a British government minister. And the Hellfire Club on that Dashwood estate used to take part in satanic ritual and human sacrifice. And indeed, members of the British royal family that Benjamin Franklin supposed to have been opposing were members of the Hellfire Club. And you mentioned earlier, in a street just off Trafalgar Square, where Benjamin Franklin used to live, a few years ago, there was reported in some British newspapers that they had a £1.5 million grant to renovate this house as a museum to Benjamin Franklin's life.
It was in the level of where when he had been there.
Yeah, Craven Street near Trafalgar Square. And when they dug the floor up as part of this renovation, they found 10 bodies, 6 of them children. And the newspaper articles were saying that they had been dated to the time Franklin was there.
He must have been doing a medical experiment, though, they said.
Well, that's exactly what they said. They said he and his housemate must have been into body snatching for medical research. But when you put together the Hellfire Club with that, it could take on quite clearly other possibilities.
Well, we know he was a British agent. He died in England.
Yeah, and he was also if you look at his history, he was in London. He was also in Paris, and Paris and London are very much a dynamic duo of the Illuminati manipulation in Europe. Indeed, when you follow this through, you find when they left Babylon, they eventually headquartered very very much in Rome at the time of the Roman Empire, and then they moved eventually through Europe into London. And interestingly, that was the run up to the British Empire. And more I've understood that these empires, like the British Empire, the Roman Empire, etc., are not empires of Rome and Britain so much as empires of the Illuminati, which had headquartered its operation in those countries at the time. I think America now is obviously very much part of the control also, but I still think Europe is the major player.
Absolutely, the majority owner of the private central banks is old money, and whether it's the Crumps, or the British love their royal family. Some of them do, but I mean they're Saxe Coburgs. I mean, they're not even British; they're German.
Well, I mean, this is the ludicrous nature of the way people are manipulated. The German royal family moved in to become the British royal family, as you rightly say, the Saxe-Coburg-Gothas. And then when the British and the Germans were fighting each other in those staggeringly appalling trench warfare...
The prince was hanging out in Nazi Germany later and then funding.
Yeah. The royal family thought it'd be good PR or bad PR to retain a German name, so that's why they changed the name from Saxe-Gotha to Windsor, for no other reason than to obscure as much as possible the German roots. And people like Lord Mountbatten and other members of the royal family were very, very close and fundamentally involved with the their family members in Germany who were supporting Hitler.
And then a few Nazis got burned, but the Krupps and all the people that got the power, they own the banks, the pharmaceuticals, Ford, you know, they own it all now.
Yeah, plus the fact that, of course, from the American expression of that, exactly the same thing was going on. You had the Dulles brothers, who later became head of the CIA and Secretary of State. You had the Rockefellers, you had the Harrimans, and you had the Bush family also involved in the supporting of Hitler and the Nazis.
In 42 and 43, they paid giant fines. Prescott was briefly arrested for running 53% of Nazi steel production.
Yeah, and they were just, if you like, the American arm of the Illuminati.
And out of these crises,
they were doing the same, supporting their German relatives who were supporting Hitler. I mean, the real story behind the official history is,
and then out of this crisis,
the official reality.
And then out of this crisis, they get their world government. Their failed League of Nations gets restarted, and then now they have the same thing. Bin Laden, CIA guy admitted. They give them the nukes to North Korea, they give them to Pakistan,
yeah.
They give the weapons to Saddam. Over and over again, they arm the boogeyman.
And I would actually make this point, Alex, in relation to that. I wonder out loud whether this apparent crisis in the UN and what Germany and Russia and France are doing is not a subplot to bring to public appreciation that the UN is not working. Therefore, if the UN is not working and does not have credibility, then there has to be something to replace it that has. What we need is a world government. I just wonder whether this subplot is actually...
Well, no, I mean,
David,
they've already said, the question is, do you want a left-wing or a right-wing world government instead of, do you want a world government?
Right.
They've already set that debate up, and this is also energizing the left-wing worldwide, you know, the general public, to feel like their ideas are good. So just massive, but it turns out the UN's already got the invasion takeover administration plan for Iraq. It's all just smoke and mirrors. And plus the people are against the war, so they got to play along a little bit. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, it's like what's happening now is there is a kind of reaction go through the UN and all that stuff to what the public are saying. And one of the things I said on my website, just hold on a second, why is there such a big large number of people in opinion polls who were against America and Britain going alone and killing thousands of Iraqi civilians, but still a majority if the UN sanction it, as if the UN is an entity that is operating independently. The same forces that are working through the UN are the same forces that are working through the British and American governments. So, in effect, whether there's another resolution or whatever is irrelevant to the fact that they intend to go and kill these civilians. Now, either you agree that that's right or you don't. It's no good saying, yes, I agree if there's a resolution, another one, but I don't if there's not. That's a total mind game and a total irrelevance.
All right, we got a bunch of calls. Let's go to them quick. Question or comment, we got to move on. Vance, New Mexico, I've been patiently holding. You're on the air. Go ahead, Vance.
Hey, Alex. Hey, David. Big fan of both you guys. I just wanted to call and encourage you guys to get together again and on Alex's show or whenever you get a chance. Big New World Order fighter, myself and my family. So I just wanted to encourage you to do that. And then I've been on hold for like an hour, so I'm kind of just trying to keep up with the subjects you're going over. But as far as you were talking about a few minutes ago about how they kind of shift their centers of power from one country to the next, And I was just going to mention to you, I'm sure, I know David Icke is familiar with Carol Quigley because he quotes,
absolutely.
In your books, you quote Carol Quigley all the time. And I'm sure you're familiar with Carol Quigley as well, Alex Jones. But in Evolutions of Civilizations and his book by Carol Quigley and then Tragedy and Hope a little bit, he goes over it. It's that there's just certain patterns to civilization, you know, on how they start and how they grow and how they die.
Let me break that down real quick, just in a nutshell, and I'll let you finish up in a second, Vance. What you got going on here is take California's where it all starts now, you know, the center for the revolutionary moves here to take over, or New York. After they've set up their tax base, dumbed people down, sucked them dry like vampires, they have to move on to a new area. David, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think they have moved to several headquarters, and it may well be that the real center of operation may well be moved to the United States. But my feeling about this is that if you want someone to look in the opposite direction to where the real manipulation is being orchestrated from...
Absolutely, it's definitely in Europe.
You have to set up a fall guy, and my feeling is...
This is about demonizing
America. I'm married to an American, and I feel for Americans in so many ways for this reason. I think America has been set up to take the heat, to be the great Satan in the eyes of many people.
I agree. And then the UN and the Euro takes the thing as a good guy.
Where the real power is.
And then the Euro plays the part of the good guy. Vance, you got 20 seconds. Finish up.
Oh, that's about it. Just wanted to encourage you guys to get together and more often so we can listen to you. And, I'm sure you know all. I just want to politics is a battle for power, a struggle for power. Over the course of time, one political unit gathers so much power, they're able to overwhelm the rest of the political units, eliminating...
But that's why the globalists try to control revolutions. Thanks for the call and create them. Real quick, got to go these calls quick now.
Right.
Stan in Missouri, go ahead. All right, we'll let him go. Okay, go ahead.
This is Stan.
Okay, Stan.
Hi, Stan. David, in your second book, I read that you mentioned that Hillary Clinton is a practicing witch and she belongs to a witch coven. How high up is she in this coven?
I can only go on what people who are involved in that kind of thing and now very reluctantly involved or have been involved and have come out.
She's done seances publicly. Time magazine's reported it.
Yeah, and I think she's certainly higher from the people that have talked to me than her husband, and certainly more powerful. But again, if someone is in the public eye who is there to be identified and targeted, they're still nowhere near the top of the hierarchy because those people don't do that. They don't put themselves on public
display. Yeah, they pose. Thanks, Stan. They pose like presidents are really our leaders. Thanks,
exactly.
Stan. A good question. Storm in Texas, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello, Alex. Hello, David.
Hello, Storm.
I want to hit on two points. First off, reptilian genetics, and second, the ultimate, I believe, in the problem reaction solution scenario, the staged alien invasion, which I think is due pretty soon.
There's an admitted government plan to do that. They got the big hologram machines, or Allah, or Jesus. Whatever they want, they can project it. That's admitted. David, any comments?
I think there's a strong possibility of something like that because Henry Kissinger was reported to have said at one of the Bilderberg meetings, basically, if people can be frightened of something, they will give their power away. And the greatest fear that people have is fear of the unknown, which is true.
Yeah.
Therefore, people were threatened or feared an invasion from outside of this earth, they would have no problem not only in accepting, and I'm paraphrasing here, but demanding that troops were on the streets of Los Angeles.
UN troops. And we see, hold on, Storm, and we see the media playing this up and now legitimizing with the Disclosure Project and others. Go ahead, Storm.
Yeah, I actually have the quote right in front of me. It says, today America will be outraged if UN troops enter Los Angeles to restore order, referring to the riot. Tomorrow they will be grateful, believe it or not. This is especially true if they were told that an outside threat from beyond, whether real or promulgated, that threatened their very existence.
I got a break. Thanks for the call. Final segment, David Icke coming up. Hey, folks.
Thanks for listening to the M2K Talk Archives. And we are listener-supported with the Honor System. We ask that you wait. Don't donate a dollar at a time. PayPal charges a 35-cent surcharge on anything of a dollar or less. Wait till you listen to 5 or 10, and then donate, please. We appreciate your voluntary support.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
We know this. The globalists are cunning, they're ruthless, they're totally evil. That is clear. And they must be resisted. We must have an awakening across the planet against the New World Order. We must retain our national sovereignty and our freedom. We must kick the globalists down. And to do that, it's going to take a renaissance of understanding. We're only going to have time to talk to John and Cliff. I'm sorry to the other callers. David, I hope that you will come back on the show because my producer walked in just now with about 50 emails. Never have time to get to all these questions. We've got a bunch of other callers. Will you come back on in a month
or so? Not a problem, mate. It's been really, really good.
All right. Real quick, how do folks get Alice in Wonderland and the World Trade Center disaster?
Well, they go to the website, davidicke.com, David Icke being one word, in the address, or they call 888-609-5006, 888-609-5006. And by the way, I'm speaking in Tyler, Texas on all day on April the 12th at Sheraton Hotel.
And again, that's in Tyler, Texas, April 8th?
April 12th.
April 12th,
at the Sheraton Hotel. Details are on the website of how to get tickets.
All right.
And that's going to be about 6-7 hours of you know taking the whole spectrum of the thing.
Well, it takes time. John in Ohio, you're on the air with David Icke. Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to say that a lot of things, but you mentioned about the UN bribery and blackmail. John Pilger, on the great British journalist on ZMAG.org, pointed out that the United States has been using gangster mafia tactics to bribe, blackmail, and threaten.
But it's not the United States. It's the globalists controlling
it. Okay, but they've been using mafia tactics to, in effect, use this charade that if people say if you can bribe, blackmail, and get some of these corrupt politicians on the Security Council to go along with it, then
yeah, they said that out in the open. They're doing this. Do you have a question or comment for David Icke?
Yeah, I think this occultism of the conspirators is really an attempt by them to sort of psych themselves up sociopathically for the kinds of genocide.
Yeah, we see psychopaths always engaging in bizarre rituals. Thanks for the call. Any comments to that, David?
Yeah, I think what he was saying about the bribery and corruption is something that's just coming to light here and there, but it's actually going on behind the scenes all the time. And the comment you made, I would like to emphasize. This is not the United States, it's not Americans, it's not the British, it's not this all-pervading kind of title we give to...
It's hijackers controlling the mechanisms of power through large governments and populations, manipulating the grand chessboard.
Exactly. It is the same force that is working through all these apparently unconnected governments and sources of power. It is not America. It is those that control America.
All right. One last caller.
Control Britain.
Absolutely. One last caller. You got 45 seconds. Cliff in Oklahoma, go ahead.
Hello, Alex.
Yes.
Hey, how are you doing? I just want to say I like the show. I'm really glad that you have David Icke on here. And I just want to say that, you know, regardless of our theories about the end game of the globalists, I just want to say we've all got the same mindset about stopping them and stopping the corruption and setting up a better world.
God bless you. Thanks for that call. That's a good final note. David, what will life be like under the New World Order if we don't defeat them in 5 years?
Well, quite simply, I would say basically look at Nazi Germany and then expand that to the globe. And that's what you're looking at. You're looking at all areas of our lives being controlled.
With a brave new world genetic engineering thing from
all that stuff, microchip population. And I could say a lot about that and the nature of what the microchip's about. It's not just about electronic tagging. It's about mental and emotional manipulation and, indeed, effects on the physical body of people they want to take out. But I am so positive that we are looking here at a transformationary point where it's being unraveled. And it's when it starts, it's going to unravel so fast. And it's already started.
It has. I agree. We're on the march. The empire's on the run. God bless you. I appreciate you and all the listeners and our affiliates and sponsors. David Icke, take care. Talk to you again. I'll be back tonight, 9 to midnight, Central Standard Time. We will rebroadcast this interview. God bless you all. InfoWars.com.